Well, good morning. There is something about that name, isn't there? Just encourage you, just for a second or two, close your eyes and just think of that name. That name that's above every name. The name that every knee will bow, the name that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's the reason that we're here this morning. He's the one that we want to exalt this morning. And He's the one that will meet your every need today. And we just want to exalt Him this morning, that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of us giving 100% to Him, because He gave 110% for us and to us. So, Father, we just want to thank You this morning for Your presence in this place. We just ask and invite the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, help us to declare the heart of God the Father today. You know what we need to hear. Please give us ears to hear what You would say today. May our eyes, our ears, our hearts be turned to You and attuned to what You would say to us. May it be for Your glory and honor. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. What a day to be in the house of God. What a day to be in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You look so well this morning, and you sounded so good this morning, and it is a delight and a joy to have each and every one of you here today. And today we want to begin a little series entitled The God Who Was, Still Is. And today our scripture text is going to be taken out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. And just reading, beginning at verse 1 down through verse 4. The prophet Isaiah says, "But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Ending that with the first phrase of verse 5. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I heard a song coming down the road this morning, and written, I believe, by and sung by Zach Williams, that says, "Fear is a liar." And that's something that, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, that we have to believe that. Fear is a liar. We have to know where fear comes from. And we know that fear does not come from God. God is not the author of fear. But we know who is the author of fear. And it's our enemy, Satan. Satan is a liar. Jesus addresses that and Scripture. When he talks about Satan is a liar, he's been a liar from the very beginning. He said there's no truth in him, so everything he says is a lie. So if he begins to, Satan begins to speak to you that you have no value, you're not saved, you're not this, you're not that, he tells you everything you're not. You need to counter that by what God says of you. You are valuable. You are, in God's eyes, a precious gem. We are a work in progress. So we have to see that. We see that word, do not fear, here, and we see that practically in every book of the Bible. Do not be afraid. Do not fear, because fear is a liar. And fear, we encounter that when things and issues enter into our life, when we encounter things in life. And as we journey through life, as we walk with the Lord, we will encounter things. We will encounter issues. But it's in whom we trust. Whom do we trust? What do you trust? If you could remember back when you were a young child, some of us need to remember a way back further than some of you other ones, but if you remember what it was like when you went to a playground or a park and you got on a swing and mom and dad would come and they would push you and they could do most anything with you. They could push you high and even, you know, I remember sometimes pushing our kids in the swing. And the first thing they said, Daddy, push higher. They always wanted to go higher. But you could twist them. You could push them high. And they would hold on for dear life. And they would enjoy the ride because it was so much fun. And how could they do that? Because they trusted the one in whom was pushing their swing. But you let a stranger push their swing, and it's a completely different story. They hold on for dear life, and they scream if they go too high. So who is pushing your swing today? In whom are you trusting? We find here in these several verses that we read, Isaiah speaking to the nation Israel. And in chapter 42, and we see throughout the scriptures, Israel had a tendency to not listen to God and a tendency not to obey what God speaks to them to do. And we know that when we don't listen and we disobey what people tell us, there's consequences. And Israel faced consequences because they didn't listen and they didn't obey. And we see that throughout the book of Isaiah. And we see that there are prophetic words throughout the book of Isaiah concerning the nation Israel, where he would tell of times where there would be great difficulty that Israel would face. Exile, going into captivity. And here, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he tells them, listen to me. Listen to me. When God says, listen to me, he wants you to pay attention. Isn't that what we would like when we address someone? Hey, are you listening to me? Are you paying attention? This is what God is saying to the nation Israel. Listen to me. Hear what I have to tell you. Even though you're going through difficulties, even though you're facing challenges, even though you're facing hardships, this is what I'm telling you. I formed you. I created you. I redeemed you. God is telling Israel, that he paid the price for them. He redeemed them. He bought them back. The same way Jesus Christ has redeemed us. He paid the price for us. He bought us back through his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But I have redeemed you, and I called you by name. God knows who you are. Of the millions of people in the world today, you do not have to wear a name tag for God to know who you are. God knows you. He created you. He called you. You are mine. We belong to God. When we experience that transformation or that transforming work of the Spirit of God within us, when we are born again, we become God's property. We belong to God. We are God's children. We are God's family. You are mine. You belong to me. And he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear is a liar. He says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be consumed. How in the world is that possible? Verse 3 tells us that, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I'm reminded of the verse, I believe it's Isaiah 59, that says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against it. Maybe you have felt, or maybe you've been walking through life, and it just seems like there is a flood of things coming against you. One thing after another. You may see some of them coming, you may not see some of them coming. Although we may not see them coming, God knows that they are coming. But the scripture tells us, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against it. Standard is a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us the very same thing. Although we may encounter things in life, hardships and difficulties in life, and we sometimes feel or think that you're the only one that's ever had to deal with your situation, that verse says that people all over the world are dealing with that too. But along with that temptation, that test, that issue, that problem, that hardship, it says God will provide a way out. Hallelujah. God will provide. God will make a way. God made these promises to Israel. And these promises belong to you and I today as true believers in Jesus Christ. Who makes a way through the sea? Who makes a path through the mighty waters? Who walks with you through the flaming fires, the difficulties, the hardships, the dark seasons in your life? Sometimes those dark seasons can be extremely long. At least they seem like they're long. But who makes a way through them? If we look beyond the verses that we read in chapter 43, verses 15 through 17 says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, there they lay, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. That's how we get through things. That's how we get through difficulties. That's how we get through hardships. That's how we get through our dark seasons in our life. God provides a way. And what is that way? Always, always, it is Jesus Christ. Jesus told us that he was the way. He is the way to the Father, the only way, but he is a way through whatever challenge we may face. And sometimes when we're faced with such difficulties and challenges and hardships, we may get our eyes on the problem and off of God. Sometimes your pain that you've encountered is real. Pain is real. Physical pain is real. If you've had to deal with pain in your body, severe pain, you know very well that it's real. And we search for things to help alleviate that pain. Pain is real. Emotional pain is real. Being rejected, being laughed at, whatever it is, emotional pain is real. Spiritual pain is real. We cannot deny, as individuals, as believers, even as a church, we cannot deny that pain is real. And if you look at the life of Jesus, he went through all of that. He went through the physical pain, the crowns, the beatings, the spear, and all of that. He knew what physical pain was. He went through the emotional pain, being mocked, being rejected, hearing the crowd, "Crucify him." The spiritual pain. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, if you would be totally honest this morning, did you ever think that? Going through your pain, going through your difficulty, going through your hardship, did you ever think that? God, where are you? I did. But we have to stop and realize God does not abandon us. When we feel like, "God, you're nowhere in sight," you know what? He is standing right beside me. And he's been there all the time. But the pain, the physical, emotional, spiritual pain, clouds our focus, our vision. And we fail to see him. We lose sight of the truth that we belong to the all-powerful, ever-present God who makes a way. That's who we belong to. When Egypt began their journey out of Egypt, they left with the riches of Egypt. They didn't leave Egypt poor, broke. They left with the riches and wealth of Egypt. And I believe that they left full of joy and excitement. Finally, they have been set free. Finally. And as they began their journey, they didn't have all the details of where they're going. They knew where they were going, what God had promised them. They're going to where God had promised to give them. But they didn't know all the details about that trip. When we come into the family of God, when we accept Christ and we begin our new life with God, being led by the Spirit of God, we know where we're headed, but we don't know all the details until we get there. But in that journey, I'm going to encounter things in life, but who's going to push my swing? I got to trust God. He never fails. Did we not just sing that? I trust in God, my Savior. He never fails. I know that from personal experience. God never fails. We read it and we can declare it, we can speak it, but when you experience, you know it's real. God never fails. In this journey, they didn't sing hallelujah and praise songs the whole journey. They griped and complained. They got hungry. What are we going to eat? Hey, we're thirsty. What are we going to drink? God provided. Then they found themselves in a situation. And sometimes we may find ourselves in a similar situation. They found themselves surrounded by the sea, by the mountains, and by Pharaoh's army. Fear took hold. Remember, fear is what? A liar. To the natural, their doom was imminent. There was absolutely no way they would get out of this. But I love this statement. With no way back and no way forward, God does what God does best, the impossible. God does what God does best, the impossible. He made a way where there seemed to be no way. And as individuals, as we journey through this life, we can say with 100% certainty that we will face the waters of adversity, the flames of oppression. These verses tell us that. The verses that we read just reinforce that. Notice it doesn't say, if you pass through the rivers, through the waters, through the flames. But it does say, when you pass through them. And it doesn't say when others pass through these things, through the rivers, the waters, the flames. It doesn't say when others pass. It says when you pass through them. This word through is an encouraging and comforting word for Israel and for us today. But these situations, these circumstances, these things that we encounter in our life, in our journey with God, aren't for, is not meant to be, or is not an end, or that is not a destination. This situation of the Red Sea, where Israel found themselves, was not their destination. That was not where God promised He would take them. This they encountered on their way to what God promised. So in our walk, our life with God, things that we encounter is not our destination, is not our end, but it is an opportunity for God to do what God does best, the impossible. Now we have to believe that. We read that. We read that it's impossible for God to lie. We believe that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We believe and we read that with God, nothing is impossible. We read that. We know it up here. But do we believe it in here? Is that a truth that has settled in your spirit, in your heart, and that is something that you will not waver on at all? Something that we have to settle. That we know that God is a God that can do so much more. God may not always deliver us from our problems or circumstances, and that's what we would like. Amen. God, deliver me from that thing. I don't want to go through that. He may not always deliver you from something, but He will make a way through them. God will make a way through it. It would be interesting to hear some of your stories. I know some of you have been through stuff. Stuff. You've had to deal with life. You may have had to deal with difficulties, hardships. You felt like you were in the fire. It would be interesting to hear your story of how God was faithful in getting you through it. We all have stories. Some of you know my story. I lost a wife in 2002. Martha lost a husband in 2002. I lost a son in 2006. You've lost loved ones. You've had to face difficulties. You've had to face challenges. It would be interesting to hear your story, how God proved Himself faithful to you and got you through that time in your life. Where would I be? Where would you be had God not showed up? Where would you be? I could tell you 100% of certainty I would not be standing in this pulpit this morning. But I know God is faithful. I know God will never fail. I don't always get my prayers answered the way I want them. And sometimes that's an issue for some people. But God answers. Martha's mother always said, God answers two ways. Yes, sometimes God says no. We love the yes. You know, we want to hold fast to that yes, but what if God says no? Maybe not right now. Are you facing a seemingly impossible situation? I don't know what you're facing. And whether or not I know it, I know someone who does. God knows. And God can make a way for you if you trust. It may not be the way you thought. We like in our minds, we like to analyze things and we like to figure things out. And, well, God, this is what I need and this is the way you ought to do it. It doesn't always work that way. God does not always make a way the way we think or way we feel He should, but He always does. And you look at Jesus in Gethsemane. What was Jesus' prayer that He prayed three times? Father, if there is another way, if there's another way to do this, there wasn't a period, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That needs to be our prayer. But God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. I thought when we started to sing, I trust in God, that Jason saw my notes on my sermon. Because I have this written down here, song, I trust in God, my Savior. Do you? Do you trust in God, your Savior, today? Is God pushing your swing? Do you trust Him? And I may have read these words to a song that Andre Crouch wrote a number of years ago. And the last part of that song, and the song is Through It All. And the last part of that song simply says, I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I would not know that God could solve them. I never knew what faith in God could do. Who's pushing your swing this morning? Whom do you trust? We put our trust in a lot of things today. We put our trust in bankers. We put our trust in politicians. We put our trust in a lot of people today. We need to put our trust in God. He gave his all for us. We need to trust him. We came to him trusting that he would forgive us, that he would accept us, and he will, and he did, that we trust him to lead us until he calls us home or until he returns. You know, we trust our politicians. Wow. We need to trust God. God will make a way. God will make a way. God will make a way for America. We just have to pray and trust and believe God. Father, we are so grateful for your goodness to us, your mercies that are fresh and new each morning. We trust you, Father God, today. And Father, as you look down upon us this morning, God, you may see that one that may be hurting, that may be enduring or battling pain, whether it be physical pain, spiritual pain, or emotional pain. God, you know what they're dealing with. And that you desire to be their way maker if they just trust you and call on you. Call on me, and I will answer. And I will show you great and mighty things you did not know, says the Lord Almighty. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.